There are people experiencing challenges from Satan. Paul wrote about this in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 3 through 4, using the expression, trials you are enduring. That's Brother David Johnson's sermon topic on this Words of Life program. We are sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. Brother Johnson is a minister of the Sellersburg, Indiana Church of Christ. Our studio is in the Hamburg Church of Christ, also in Sellersburg. We now worship our Lord with song. It is now our time for prayer. Heavenly Father, it is our blessing to simply be able to bow before you in prayer through Jesus. This privilege is given to us by your grace and not by our own merits. Please bless this radio program and all other gospel efforts. Our listeners stand in need of your daily help and for concerns and spiritual needs, as well that we ask that you will bless them. Persecuted Christians in many locations in the world need your strength. We thank you for their faith and faithfulness. And Lord, when Jesus comes back for his church, help us to be ready to be taken with him. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Based on 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, Brother David Johnson will present Trials You Are Enduring.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life radio broadcasts as we look in to the Word of God and apply it to our lives. The title for the lesson is Trials You Are Enduring. And our theme text is taken from 2 Thessalonians in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Please listen to the Word of God. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. This is the Word of God, and may this be true also of us in the churches today. We admire those who plow forward with an inner spirit of strength in the midst of sufferings and trials. We ourselves, of course, would much prefer to have our faith and character tested by other means rather than sufferings and trials. Instead, we may think, give us a self-help book or a seminar or the Bible itself, but not troubles. I was recently getting a haircut. In the span of less than 10 minutes, one person stated he had lost his daughter, his only child, to sudden death a couple of months ago. She was only 49. Then he added that he had lost his wife unexpectedly a couple of years earlier after 51 years of marriage. Then he stated, quote, "You never get over tragedies like that," end quote. Then another that was waiting to get a haircut began listing the trials that he had endured, which were also heartbreaking. Of course, I knew nothing of their spiritual life. But I couldn't help but think, how do people cope with deeply tragic sufferings without God, without faith in an after-this-life joy of being with Jesus and being with our believing loved ones who have gone on before us, whereby all suffering and trials are gone, extinct forever? And that's a comforting hope that believers can hang on to now. Some who don't know the Bible don't expect that all people, including people of faith, should be stricken with disasters and troubles of all kinds. However, regarding the very first family, Abel was murdered by his brother, Cain. Noah, as a believer, was repeatedly ridiculed. Joseph, an upright man of integrity, was abused and imprisoned. Elijah was rejected because he challenged the status quo and spoke for the one true God. And then there was Jesus. His own half-brothers, who grew up with him, who were with him most of some 30 years, initially, at first, and through those 30 years, evidently, did not believe in him as Messiah. John chapter 7 and verse 5 reveals this. Jesus, summarizing his public ministry, stated, quote, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20. A sad commentary indeed. And yet, of course, the Son of Man in his humanity, the Son of God in his divinity, voluntarily chose this life He came as a suffering servant. He came as a savior for mankind. Jesus also clearly stated, quote, "In this world you will have trouble," John chapter 16 and verse 33. And Jesus addressed this especially toward his genuine disciples, who strive to live lives of faith and integrity. Actually, an authentic life for Christ actually, yes, brings its own troubles from ungodly believers. Really? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." That's not all Jesus stated on this occasion. Stay tuned. His remedy is coming later in our lesson from the Bible. Once we've lived long enough, we know the myths of unending success and material well-being, insulating us from troubles. It's a farce. It's not going to happen. Believers must not fall into the trap of considering difficulties as unfair. It's not unfair. Everybody experiences difficulties. Nor do difficulties of all kinds necessarily come due to some personal deficiency, necessarily. This life is just plain and simple difficult at times. This life. We might think that, for example, the rich and famous have only the good life. Think again. All you have to do is Google them, these rich and famous people, and you'll find, when I say Google, on the computer, on the internet, and you'll find that their lives also have a lot of bad things, of difficult things, of troubling, even disasters in their lives. Public perception caves once you find out their real struggles, which the media are only too happy to expose to everybody. Yet some of the Thessalonian Christians, in spite of persecutions and trials, were living above the fray. They did not live quiet lives of desperation. They assumed their pagan society would treat them with antagonism, with persecution. They were not shocked by the ebb and flow, the ups and downs of this life. They bore their difficulties with grace and trust in the Lord. They focused beyond the moment to the eternity with God, and so it should be with all of us Christians today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul wrote, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing." That's what we need, growing faith and increasing love. As Christians, we all have an outstanding and ongoing debt toward God for our faith and love. For the source of our faith and love is God. Yes, we need to live it out, but the source is faith and love toward God and to others. For faith comes from hearing. The message, and the message is heard through the Word of God, or through the Word of Christ. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. We have faith toward God, and we also should have faith in the Lord's people as we go through this life until they prove it to be wrong. That is the Lord's people. Moreover, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And so faith and love have their source, according to Romans 10:17 for faith, and Romans 5:5 for love, have their source from God. Therefore, our hearts should be overflowing with thanksgiving toward God. as Christians, how would we cope? How can we be overcomers without godly faith and love? The Thessalonian Christians were overcomers because their faith was not at a standstill, but growing. And their love was not stale, but increasing. Maturing faith and love are keys. They are keys to our not just stability, but our durability in this life. A large part of our faith and love growth comes from learning, believing, and living out God's Word consistently. The deeper we dive into the Word of God and make it ours personally, experientially, the deeper our faith and love will grow. However, this doesn't work if it remains just theory. If faith and love just remain theory, that doesn't work. It needs to be experiential. We need to live it out. If faith and love grow and increase more and more, there will be godly results, even when trials and troubles come. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. Everybody desires perseverance and endurance in some way or fashion, but not everybody has hope beyond this life. In fact, that's a lot of the problem for the unbelievers and skeptics, because they believe that the grave is the end. So everything really successful and satisfying needs to happen in this life alone. Otherwise, it's failure. It's disappointment. Nothing is left except oblivion to the unbeliever. At least that's the widespread theory. But for the believer, after this life, actually, the very best is to come. Really? Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. We should always remember every wonderful or terrible thing that happens to us is not excluded from the hand of God. Nothing in our lives is wasted. God is committed to the transformation of His sons and daughters, and will use everything, good or bad or indifferent, to shape our character of faith, hope, and love. Our commitment needs to be faithful perseverance. It's our accountability and responsibility. Faithful perseverance above and beyond whatever trials we must endure. And dear listener, in Christ, there is light beyond whatever darkness comes our way. And that can be true of anyone who receives Christ as personal Savior and Lord. Jesus stated, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That is, never have the darkness of the spiritual truths, the spiritual promises that are for those in Christ Jesus, because we are people of light. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, that day is coming. Yet in the meantime, Jesus is our light, the remedy to the ups and downs of this life. Is not about fully understanding everything that happens. Speaking to his disciples, Jesus stated, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. By extension and application to Jesus' disciples as followers today, the peace Jesus imparts on a personal level, unknown to the unbelievers, can provide calm and comfort even in the midst of trials, and certainly after a season of struggles. It's the peace of God which transcends, which goes beyond all understanding, and will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. However, this calm and comfort comes to the mature believer that has confidence, that has faith that God is able and works to do what is best for his own. We may not understand it. We won't. Certainly in some circumstances, we won't understand it all. But we trust in God anyway. We can take heart. We can be courageous. We can rejoice. Because Jesus Christ has overcome, is victorious over the world. At the cross and his resurrection, Jesus overcame sin, Satan, and death. So we who belong to him will also be victorious overcomers over sin, Satan, and eventually death. Christians have a dual existence. We are in Christ, and now, we are in this world. In Christ, we have peace in a world system that majors in conflict. We must strive to live by faith, not by sight. Jesus beat, conquered the world system. And because he won, we in union with him win and can overcome the world system. Always remember, we are all winners in Christ Jesus. There are no losers in Christ. None. Niet. Nada. We are all winners in Christ Jesus through persevering faith.
And the gates shall never close to the city foursquare. There life's crystal river flows, and there is no night there. God shall wipe away all tears. There's no death, no pain, nor fears. And they count not time by years, for there is no night
there. Are you a Christian? God's Word teaches that to become a Christian, you are to first believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God. God's Word also shows us that we are to repent of sins, confess Jesus as Savior and Lord, and be baptized by immersion in water. If we can help you in your decision, please contact us. Please write to us for a free CD of this and last week's program by asking for broadcast number 2350. That's 2350. We pray that God will bless you.
It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.